podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com. Distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular audio podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, normalaudiostash.com. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. Welcome back to the Audio Stash. Today, it is Wednesday, May 9th. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us at Normal to end marijuana prohibition in America. Just visit norml.org. And in our show today, we have a brand new segment with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, author of Understanding Marijuana, A New Look at the Scientific Evidence. Mitch joins us each week here on the Audio Stash on Wednesday for our Cannabis Science segment. Also in the program today, we've got some great music, some from the Suburban Noise record label. That's the Cottonmouth Kings record label out there. These guys are called the X-Clan. We'll have that later in the program today. And everyone should click through to the Normal eBay auctions this week. We have some unique prisoner art from the Prisons Foundation, which actually shares office space with the Normal Foundation there on K Street in Washington, D.C. The Prisons Foundation has a vast collection of art created by prisoners around the country. Some of those prisoners are in for marijuana-related offenses. And Normal has partnered with the Prison Foundation to offer some of that art for sale, and it benefits Normal as well as the Prisons Foundation. You can find Normal on eBay with links we have today at normalaudiostash.com. Now let's open up our stash today with news from Normal. Our news today. Washburn, Minnesota decriminalizes marijuana. The city of Washburn, Minnesota has passed a city ordinance giving police the option of issuing a traffic violation type of ticket with a fine in lieu of arresting minor marijuana possession offenders. The citation would be a non-criminal offense and would not appear on an individual's criminal record, according to the Washburn Assistant Police Chief Jeremy Clapero. However, Clapero stated to the local press that he expects some marijuana possession arrests would still be made. Dozens of cities across the country, including Ann Arbor, Michigan, Madison, Wisconsin, and Milwaukee, have decriminalized or depenalized local marijuana possession offenses. Some cities, such as Santa Monica, California, and Missoula, Montana, have adopted stricter local ordinances that make marijuana violations officially the city's, quote, lowest law enforcement priority, close quote. These ordinances incorporate a citizens' oversight board to assure that police are upholding the ordinance. The largest city to adopt such a law is Seattle, Washington, which saw arrests for marijuana possession violations drop from thousands per year to less than 100 annually. More information about marijuana decriminalization and depenalization is available at norml.org.
You're listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash.
Thank you. up today, it's time for our Cannabis Science segment. Each Wednesday, we get to take a look at the science of cannabis with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Mitch is professor of psychology at State University of New York and author of the book Understanding Marijuana, A New Look at the Scientific Evidence, and editor of the new book Pot Politics. We have links to those books on our website at normalaudiostash.com. Mitch, welcome back to the show today.
Always a pleasure, Chris.
It's great to speak with you this week, Mitch. Now, you're a college professor there on a big campus. Classes are winding down, and it's finals week for millions of young minds out there. Mitch, what advice can you offer young, responsible adult cannabis consumers for finals week out there?
I think the thing to keep in mind is that during intoxication, short-term memory really is impaired. It's very hard to encode new information right after smoking cannabis. So this is not a study aid in any way. Nevertheless, folks who are regular users but are not currently intoxicated don't seem to show any meaningful deficits in memory, so I don't feel like you've got to worry so much about that. The bottom line is if you're organized and you study in small but repeated bursts rather than trying to have some big binge, some giant mass practice, you're going to do a whole lot better in the long run. And I think that people who are regular users tend to understand this. Once you're done with all your finals and want to celebrate, the key issues are the same ones we were always emphasizing. We don't want to have anybody driving at, you know, less than their absolute optimal skill. We want to make sure that folks are using in a way that isn't likely to increase tolerance or other related problems, and to make sure that they use in settings that are safe and comfortable and fun. And to stay away from hard drugs, because that's really not going to enhance the experience in a way that's going to be productive.
Now, Mitch, you mentioned hard drugs. Stimulants are really abused around exam time, you know, from meth to energy drinks.
As it turns out, the enhancements related to the stimulants are extremely illusory. They don't really last very long unless you've got a diagnosis of attention deficit disorder. So I understand folks who, you know, have a prescription for Ritalin and need to use it in order to concentrate. That's a different situation. But, you know, I'm hearing really haunting reports about folks, you know, grinding up Ritalin and snorting it in hopes that they're going to somehow study and retain information better. And it honestly doesn't help. What you end up with is just such an intense increase in stimulation that a lot of folks who don't have attention deficit end up being too wound up to be able to sit still and read their books. And so what I find out is they've spent 3 hours, you know, playing video games instead, and now they're just as tired, if not more tired. They've lost more time, and they end up being amped up with no, you know, useful addition to their study time. So, no, I really encourage folks to instead focus on, you know, budgeting your time well rather than trying to squeeze that extra few hours out through the use of a really unproductive drug.
Also, though, Mitch, when it comes to responsible adult consumption, I mean, exams week is a stressful time. We know you shouldn't study stoned, as you mentioned, but if you smoke some marijuana at other times in a week of studying during downtime, are you going to forget everything you learned?
We don't have a ton of data on that, and I would encourage folks to consider alternatives. Nothing like, you know, lying down and listening to some relaxing music, a relaxation tape, or even just, you know, catching an episode of your favorite comedy as a distractor instead, and then save, you know, save your cannabis use for when finals are done and you can really do it in a way where you can enjoy it. I've had, over the years, several students come to me saying they essentially had, you know, kind of aversive intoxication experiences because they just had so much on their mind, so much worry about studying, that they couldn't really even enjoy their cannabis, and that just seems like a waste of good pot.
Also, people do study in groups these days, and cannabis consumers might be downed on by their peers in a study group, this myth of pot making people without motivation, amotivational. But there's really no truth to that notion there.
We've got tons of data suggesting, you know, from college student age on up, there really is no support for amotivation. Kasner's data on employment shows that, you know, people who use cannabis earn just as much money, pay just as much taxes, don't take more sick days or anything like that. And data from UCLA going all the way back to the 70s show that folks who use are no different in their grades, they do just as many extracurricular activities, and they're actually a little more likely to plan on going to graduate school, which I've reiterated that in order to plan to go to graduate school, you better be high because it's really a strange use of your time. Nevertheless, I think we all have to protect the reputation of users. Anytime a user, a known user, makes any kind of mistake, it's a shame how people attribute it to cannabis. When I'm up in front of a lecture with 200 people and I forget something, what do people immediately think? You know? Whereas if one of my colleagues who is not a known cannabis user forgets something, people just cut him some slack. So we've taken on this extra responsibility, and so we've in some ways have to do above and beyond what folks who are not known users have to do. And I think that's a responsibility we should all relish, and let's take that on and really show them, hey, cannabis users not only don't have a motivation, we're the new achievers. We're willing to crank it out so that we can really enjoy ourselves on our time off.
Now, most college students will encounter some alcohol around or even on campus. You know, what if you try and study on alcohol? What happens then?
Again, intoxication during studying with alcohol is just not a good idea at all. And even some of the data on caffeine, which is used even more readily, suggests that it is not the memory enhancer we all might have hoped. So I really discourage use of those. As an alternative, I recommend plenty of sleep, exercise, things along those lines. All the good health behaviors that everybody knows they're supposed to do, but for some reason during these weeks, they don't seem to budget the time for them. But I'm telling you, if you put 20 minutes aside to go for a walk, that's going to be better than literally any drug we have that's supposed to enhance studying.
Okay, that does lead me to ask about all that stuff at convenience stores. You know, you walk up to the counter and you see the racks with all these little bags of pills that say memory enhancement and get energy and the like. You know, Mitch, is there anything like that out there that is shown to be a quick fix for memory?
The funny thing about all of those is they really boil down to caffeine or caffeine-related substances. And there are some data on, like, people with Alzheimer's maybe benefiting from some of these herbs and things like that. But, you know, young college students who are, you know, clearly cognitively intact do not benefit from these. And unfortunately, every time I say something like this, I get hundreds of emails saying, you're so wrong, because one time this thing happened to me and I did better. And that one event is really not proof of this. When we do studies with large groups of people, you do get some mild enhancements with, say, ginkgo biloba or some of those other herbs. But when you look at the size of the effect, it's like they were learning a list of 15 words and they remembered half an extra word on average. I mean, it's just not enough to really justify it. And then when I look at some of these drinks, especially, when you find out how much taurine or how much ginkgo biloba is in one of these, it's so little that the possibility of it actually having an impact is next to nothing, and the expense is just insane. So I see these little 10-ounce cans of things that cost $3, and people are expecting that to enhance their studying. That's just not the case, and it's certainly not worth the money.
And with the end of exams, Mitch, there is celebration, a lot of parties at the end of the year, and a lot of folks do try marijuana even for the first time at college parties. So what should folks look out for to make sure they're having a good experience?
My top priority is always pay attention to how you're feeling and what's going on. And so if you're in a setting where you're really enjoying yourself, you're with your friends, and you understand your own limits with cannabis, you're going to have a fine time. As soon as you start, you know, mixing alcohol and other things in there, it's just harder to predict what's going on. And in truth, odds are high you're going to be worn out. You're probably not going to need a whole lot to, you know, set yourself into a nice mood or a nice relaxed situation. So by all means, understand that a little is enough and that this is one of those situations where less really is more.
And Mitch, I've also heard that cannabis works really well as a wonderful reward for mental achievement, say abstaining from marijuana while you're studying or working, and when that work needs to be done, perhaps looking at the beautiful marijuana buds, and then when the exams or the work is done, then you get to partake. I've heard that works very well.
All I can say, Chris, is somebody who wrote a very popular book on marijuana used that approach, and if he used cannabis as a reward for, say, 15 hours a week of writing, it seemed to be particularly productive for the following week. Gave him something to look forward to and was a real motivator. So, again, I think if people are willing to use those contingencies and say, all right, if I, you know, do this many hours of studying this week, I get this reward, we've got lots of data. Kirschenbaum and other researchers have suggested that that works really, really well.
Righto, Mitch. And also this week, I know you've got a new column that's going to be appearing in High Times magazine, the Ask Dr. Mitch column. Tell us how this came about, what we can look for in it.
Indeed, the Ask Dr. Mitch column is in the current High Times, the one with David Arquette on the front. And after, you know, some going back and forth with the editors there, they said it might be a good idea. I drafted a few things based on some questions that students had asked me, and it seems to be really running on its own now. It's really pretty nice.
Okay, so what are some of the questions you've gotten in and sort of stick out in your mind here?
It's funny. So after the first one, I asked folks to write me at 420research@gmail.com and getting some interesting questions about marijuana and Viagra and how they interact, which may say a bit about the age of some of the High Times readers. And I've also got some wild stuff about does marijuana shrink the testicles? Some crazy stuff folks have been hearing from health teachers on the West Coast, as well as just your standard questions about, you know, smoking resin and are vaporizers good and things that regular normal Audio Stash listeners probably could answer themselves.
Now, Mitch, we know there's a lot of misinformation out there, especially from these sort of pseudo-authority figures like health teachers and the like.
It's kind of hard for me to tease out. Either people are misremembering what their health teachers told them, or the health teachers really are misinformed. And I'm concerned about this and, you know, always happy to plug Understanding Marijuana. And I've been sending a few copies out to some high school libraries just to see if they'll be willing to hang on to it, because obviously, some of the stuff we learned in health class back in seventh grade isn't correct, but I thought surely by now everybody would know that, and unfortunately some of the old rumors are still around.
And I know Ed Rosenthal mentioned in his interview that some of the questions that he got in from readers over the years really spurred some of his scientific research.
It's wonderful, because Ed's stuff actually not only spurred research, you know, of his own on plants and stuff like that, but many a scientist has taken questions that I thought were really novel that I later found in you know, compendia of Ask Ed things from the 1980s. So the questions seem to go around and come around, and I'm glad to see that, you know, it's the average reader, average listener, average person who often generates some of the more interesting empirical issues in this research.
And boy, folks really do have a lot of questions about marijuana, and perhaps these days folks are less afraid to ask those questions now.
I think that's the beauty of it, is people can now stand up in a high school class and say, hey, I'm really curious about marijuana and my coughing. You know, can you give me the lowdown? Whereas, you know, 20, 25 years ago, people would have been reluctant to even ask for fear that somehow they had been outed and would put themselves at risk for arrest or just being ostracized by classmates or something like that.
And finally, Mitch, you know, how does it feel to be appearing regularly in this institution for worldwide cannabis consumers there at High Times magazine?
Oh, well, as you know, as writers go, I'm a little bit sensitive about editing and things like that, but I really trust the guys at High Times with my prose, which is not something I could say for a number of other presses. And if anybody would be interested in, you know, sending me a question that might end up in the column, I certainly wouldn't out them or even include their email address, but they can email me at 420research@gmail.com.
Right on, Mitch. This has been a great conversation, as always, and I look forward to picking up my High Times magazine, checking out your column. Thanks for joining us here again today.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks again, Mitch. Dr. Mitch Earlywine is professor of psychology at State University of New York, author of the book Understanding Marijuana, A New Look at the Scientific Evidence, and editor of the new book Pot Politics. We have links to his books at normalaudiostash.com, and as he mentioned, you can check out his new column, Ask Dr. Mitch, in High Times magazine.
Is it 420 yet? This is Rick Cusick from High Times Magazine, and you're tuned into Normal's Audio Stash.
First up in our music stash today, we have some stuff from the Suburban Noise record label. That's the label created by the Cottonmouth Kings. Always great to have stuff from the Kings or anyone associated with them right here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Here's the X-Clan with Prison.
Slavery is back. In fact, it was never abolished. The 13th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution abolished slavery, except in prison. At the current rate of incarceration, by the year 2010, the majority of all African-American men between 18 and 40 will be in prison, the state as their captor.
It's going to take people who are willing to fight, not people who want to negotiate with the enemy.
Prison! Prison!
Of life containment, where reform and discipline are labeled enslavement. From rites of passage to stacking the raiments, been sporting the iron bars, just gracing the pavement. It's just like cavemen from the pages of myth, cohabitating in darkness while we wallow in filth. Generations of jewels will trickle down to abyss as blood stains these prisons like the pyramid glyphs. Guilty or innocent, agents of government treat our hoods like picking ground. Schools to tenement, all sagging uniform as thugs, they represent racial stereotypes. File for the oppressed. When you witness genocide every day, you get the hint that the ghettos are cold like a lab experiment. As young women and men street hustle before they 10, graduating from juvenile halls and up the river to the play generation next. The house of regret locks down our street beds. Regroup and repent. We lost sight of our mission. We're gonna re-ride for justice. We must remain out the wealth. Fools wait for lockdown to find the knowledge of self. I bang hard on the left, but never fiend for cream. If you borrow, you owe it. If you take it, you know you're going to the
prison.
The penalty for criminal states. If you're herb or bird, man, you study running from jakes. I circle with street soldiers that build and plant states. Through the land from Babylon, my skills educate. If these united snakes, there stands no debate. The constriction of law makes us communists of hate. New world, a new focus. The streets need to deal with new purpose. The eldership is lacking. The circus of misguidance is deep. In prison state of mind, I had you dead in the street. Yelling P-I-M-P in your stress. Fake player cars to rest. Tell youth to stay in school, research and manifest.
Oh boy, slave ways from the whip to the gaze. From streets to the cage, we stand judge, hook and dagger. As 12 heads decide if you keep your street swagger. Or be between bars, this crazy world gets fatter. I'm in heat, fucking lesson wise, don't the mad hatter. I can honk up my dog, cause I deal with life matters. It's strange in the sight of my people and what's sadder. We make devils quiet and put our heads in the batter.
X-Clan with Prison. They're on the Suburban Noise record label. We found them up at the Independent Online Distribution Alliance, and we have links to all of that on our website today at normalaudiostash.com.
What's up, guys? This is Miss High Times 2007, and you're chilling with us here at the Normal Podcast.
Here's a frequent musical contributor here to the Audio Stash, Ominous Words. We haven't played this track yet, though. I Like to Get High.
I want to get high.
I want to smoke until I fly. I want to get high. So come on, baby, and smoke with me. I want to get high. I want to smoke until I fly. I want to get high. So come on, baby, and smoke with me.
I smoke green tree. The chronic stinks when I leave. I'm as happy can be. Let anything happen to me. Laughter's the golden key. You want my presence, doggy? Just smoke with me and ride with the Steves. It's a high time society where we be loving the weed, smoking like Cheech, with dreams to reach, visions to seek. Just ride this beat.
I want to get high. I want to smoke until I fly. I want to get high. So come on, baby, and smoke with me. I want to get high. I want to smoke until I fly. I want to get high. So come on, baby, and smoke weed.
Indeed, I smoke weed. I smoke weed indeed. THC is for me. Whatever night you will breathe. Free is what it should be. Yeah, it's shackles like us. My cloud nine is green fluff. Puff, puff, puff with no pass. Cause I'm alone with chronic clones. Nature grows, so I respect to get high to stay connected. Even cigars dissected, my nut jars infected. Some purple fucking weed for now.
I want to get high. I want to smoke until I fly. I want to get high. So come on, baby, and smoke with me. I want to get high. I want to smoke until I fly. I want to get high. So come on, baby, and smoke with me.
Smoke all night long, choke your hip bongs like charm. So blaze a blunt to this song, there ain't nothing wrong. Just reality's gone and long, past the point of no return. It's time to burn, laugh and learn. So pack the herb and listen to me spit.
Damn, that's some good shit.
As you know, this drug in Venezuela is what they call marijuana. Or as it's known in the hippie world, pot, that's right, joint, yes, reefer, yes, but we don't call it that, we have other words for it. Now, contrary to popular belief, kids, and this stuff can't...
That was ominous words with I Like to Get High. We have links to them up on our website today at normalaudiostash.com.
Hello, this is Webb Hubble. Life insurance is now available for responsible marijuana smokers. For years, responsible marijuana smokers have not been able to access affordable life insurance products. They've been forced to lie on applications, forego the health benefits of responsible marijuana use, or purchase life insurance products that did not require an application or a physical. If they were honest about their use of marijuana, they were either flat out declined or rated so high that they could not afford the coverage they needed. No longer. Recently, one of Normal's members contacted them with a problem. He was expanding his business and his bank was requiring additional life insurance. His local insurance agent had told him he simply had to quit smoking marijuana to get the coverage the bank was requiring. He didn't want to quit, and he wanted Normal's help. They contacted me, their insurance agent, and someone who was familiar with the insurance problems marijuana smokers face, and we both wanted to find a solution. I contacted my associate, Marvin Address, a nationwide expert in the area of life insurance, and we took on the challenge. Marvin was finally able to convince a carrier to underwrite the Normal member without the usual negative implications of marijuana use. The member not only received the coverage he needed, he was able to save additional money on the premiums he was paying for the coverage he already had in place. Normal uniquely supports cannabis consumers. As a result of this occurrence, Normal, Marvin, and myself decided that the time was ripe to make traditional insurance products available to responsible smokers without the usual negative implication. Two carriers have already agreed to offer all of their traditional life insurance products at all levels without excluding individuals who smoke marijuana responsibly. I am hopeful that this program can be ultimately expanded to make available disability and health insurance products as well. Help Normal and help yourself. If you've been declined for life insurance, are paying above market premiums, or simply want to know what now may be available in the way of insurance for marijuana smokers, contact me at info@mclaughlinonline.com or simply call me at 202-293-5566. Challenging as it may be, Normal is a public interest organization working hard to both reform cannabis laws as well as providing valuable services to their membership and cannabis consumers all around the world.
To Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about every day's show. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 4:20 tomorrow.
Of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers, and nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana, and over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and coworkers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORML. My name is Keith Stropp, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.